So the first scripture that we're going to look at today is in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. So if you want to find that in your Bibles this morning. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things human beings look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. As he went along, that is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about it? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God and tell the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples as well? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. God listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you for the way that your spirit works through your word with power to change our lives. And so we open ourselves up to you, and we ask that you would do in us what we are unable to do for ourselves, that you would transform us so that more and more who we are and how we live is a reflection of Jesus, that you would reproduce his life in our lives so that he would be glorified in who we are and in what we do. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And we pray these things, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. It has been a long winter. It has been a miserable winter. I grew up in the South, and so I wasn't used to snow. I didn't even need one hand to count all the times that it had snowed in my growing up years. And so when I moved to this part of the country, kind of the mid-Atlantic, it's been about 12 years ago now, suddenly there was snow everywhere. It seemed like in the wintertime it would snow, you know, much more than I was used to. And I also got to know a phenomenon called black ice. Does anybody enjoy black ice? Yeah, I didn't think so. And Sue and I live in the city, and so this winter, one time I was feeling very virtuous. It was early in the morning, And I said, you know, it snowed last night, but I'm going to get out and I'm going to shovel our walk, and then I'm going to go to the gym and work out. And so this will, you know, tell you how ambitious I was. I was going to, you know, get up early in the morning and take care of this. And so I shovel the walk and everything, and I'm in my workout clothes, and I'm heading across the street to get in my car to drive to the gym. I'm not quite as ambitious to think that I will walk to the gym through the snowy streets. And I have one of those moments where one moment you're walking along, and then the next moment you're flat on your back. Have you ever had a moment like that? Yeah? So I'm just walking across in my car, and boom, there I am flat on the back. And you know, there are certain ways that your knee will bend that your knee's not really intended to bend. And so my knee did one of those. And so for, it seemed like months after that, it was probably about 6 or 8 weeks, I could move my knee and I could walk and everything like that. But when my knee would bend in a certain direction, it would hurt. And I don't know how many of you like to go to the doctor, but I hate to go to the doctor. And so it was one of those things where you keep bargaining with yourself and you think, okay, if it gets worse, I'll just go to the doctor. And then, you know, you keep talking yourself out of getting any treatment for you, and you're just miserable. And that question comes to your mind, why me? And I'm thinking to myself, I was doing the right thing. I had all the best intentions. There I was. I had shoveled the walk. The walk was clear. I'm caring for my neighbors. I'm off to the gym. And suddenly, I'm flat on my back, and my knee hurts, and I can't bend my knee, and oh, it's so painful. When are those times in your life when you have asked that question, why me? When you've asked yourself, what is going on in my life? Why is this happening to me? What is taking place? What's the purpose of this? Because surely there must be a purpose. If I'm hurting, if I'm in pain like this, if this adversity has come to me, there's got to be some plan involved in this. There's got to be some intention to this. In this passage, when Jesus encounters this man, the first question that his disciples ask him is, okay, who sinned? Did this guy sin, or did his parents sin so that he was born blind? What happened here? And I don't think that that's the question that we reflexively ask anymore. I think our culture has changed so much that that's not our instinctive question when we see human suffering. We don't sort of reflexively attribute it to some kind of divine retribution. We don't automatically assume that God is punishing somebody just because somebody is suffering. But we do ask that why me question, don't we? We do ask that question, you know, why is this happening to me? Why is this, you know, other people hurt, other people suffer, but why is this taking place in my life? What's going on here? And Jesus' response to this is an incredible insight for us. He says, look, your presupposition is wrong. The assumption that you're making, the thing that you're not even questioning is incorrect. He says, look, it's not that this guy sinned, obviously, before, you know, how could you do that? How could you sin before you were born and have something awful happen to you? So it's not that, and it's not that his parents did anything that he was born blind. But then Jesus says this. In verse 3, he says, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. This is an incredible insight for you and for me. What Jesus is saying is, we don't need to assume that when adversity comes into our lives, that somehow God is punishing us, or that we have done something wrong, or that God is out to get us. But rather, what Jesus is saying is, the circumstances of our lives, the conditions of our existence, these become the raw material that God uses to work in our lives to glorify God, to bring honor to God. These are the things that God uses to work through us so that God is glorified, so that God is honored. That's a complete change in perspective. It was a complete change in perspective for Jesus' disciples. That was not how they were used to thinking. That was not how they were used to interpreting their experience. And it's probably not how you and I are used to interpreting our experience. But what difference would that make in your life? How would that change how you react and respond to your circumstances if, when things happen in your life, when things go on in your life, especially things that are negative, things that you wouldn't want to have happen, what would change in your life? How would things be different if the question that you asked wasn't "why me," but instead was, "okay, now what, God?" And you started to ask, how does God want to work through these circumstances to bring honor to God, to glorify God in my life? If we began to look at our circumstances as the materials that God uses to work in us and to work through us so that God is honored, so that God is glorified, that would be a change in our perspective. Now, what are the things that can keep us from living with that kind of perspective? What are the things that can keep us from being able to look at our lives and say, "okay, God, here is my life. Use my life to bring glory to yourself"? One of the things that can prevent us from having that perspective and from being able to be useful to God in the way that God wants us to is that we can be afraid. If you look at the parents of the guy in this story, the thing that characterizes them, the thing that has a hold of them, is that they are afraid. They're afraid that they're going to be put out of the synagogue. They're afraid that they're going to be disenfranchised religiously. They're afraid that they're going to be outgrouped spiritually. They're afraid that they're going to be rejected. And so when the Pharisees come to them and they begin to examine them and say, "you know, what's going on? Why your son, he was supposed to have been born blind. What's the deal?" They're willing to say, "well, yes, he was our son. And, you know, yes, he's our son. And yes, he was born blind. But the rest of it, we just don't know anything about. You know, he's over 21. You should go and ask him." And their response is characterized by fear. Their response is characterized by their desire to avoid a confrontation with these religious leaders, with these Pharisees. How much of what you do day to day and week to week is conditioned by fear? You're saying to yourself, "look, I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to have my circumstances go from bad to worse," or "I'm afraid of what this person is going to say. I'm afraid of what that person is going to do to me, so I'm going to avoid them, or I'm going to avoid speaking the truth in this situation, or I'm going to avoid being confrontive. I'm going to avoid being confrontational because I'm afraid of what's going to happen." And so sometimes we can be kept from being able to be used by God because we're afraid. And here's the good news of Jesus: we don't have to be afraid. It says in 1 John that perfect love drives out all fear. And so when God's love begins to take root in our lives and begins to grow in our lives, then one of the things that does is it expels fear from us. And so we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in that state of anxiety. We can be free to be who God wants us to be. We can be free to live the kinds of lives that God has for us to live simply by trusting God, simply by relying on God. And so we don't have to be like the parents of this man who said, "oh, you should just go ask our son because he can speak for himself, because we were afraid of the religious leaders." One of the things that can keep us from living these lives that God wants us to live, where God is able to be glorified in our circumstances, is we can be afraid simply to testify to God's work in our lives. We can be reluctant to testify about what God has done for us. And so several times in this episode in Jesus' ministry, people go to this guy who was born blind and who now can see, and they say, they just ask him to tell his story. And his story is always the same. There was this guy, Jesus. There was this man, Jesus. And he came and he put some mud on my eyes and he told me to wash it off. And I went and I washed it off. And then I could see. And they ask him over and over again to narrate for them what happened. And he always says, you know, he says, well, you know, I'm not exactly sure who Jesus is. He must be a prophet. You know, I don't know everything about what happened, but this I know. I used to be blind, but now I can see. Now I can see. There are things that God has done for you. There are ways that God has moved in your life. And you have the opportunity, even this week, simply to testify about that. Simply to say, this is what God has done for me. This is how God has blessed me. This is how God has cared for me. This is how God has worked in my life. And I want to encourage you to be like this man and to not let those opportunities pass. No matter whether you're anxious about that, no matter whether you have some reluctance to do that, simply to ask God for courage to testify faithfully to how God has worked in your life. Simply to say the same kind of thing that this man said. You know, just to be able to say, I don't understand everything that's happened. I don't know all the details of what's taken place in my life, but this is what I know. This is what God has done for me. This is how God has blessed me. This is how God has worked in my life. And just simply to give testimony to that. The other thing that's going on in this passage is that sometimes we miss out on how God wants to act in our lives because of a lack of obedience in our lives, because of a reluctance just to obey what Jesus tells us to do. A little later on in the Gospel of John in chapter 14 in verse 15, Jesus is very clear about it. Jesus is very simple about it. He says, look, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Imagine this story differently. Imagine, because it's interesting, the way that Madeline read the story is a little bit different than how it takes place in the scripture. There's not a dialogue, is there, between Jesus and this guy who's born blind. There's no interrogation of this man. Jesus doesn't ask him for permission, right? Jesus just sees this guy, doesn't find out what his name is, doesn't find out what his circumstances are. He just sees that he's blind and he scoops up some dirt and he spits into it and makes some mud and smacks it on his eyes and says, go down to the pool and wash. Imagine that you're this guy and suddenly you're confronted by Jesus, this strange man who makes spit mud. I mean, how gross is that, right? And puts it on your eyes and sends you down to this pool. What would you do? How would you respond to that? Because I don't know that this guy was expecting to see that day. There are a lot of times that we get used to things that we shouldn't get used to. That we get accustomed to living in ways that are much narrower than what God has for us. That are much smaller than the dreams God has for us. And we just are walking along, trying to make the best of it. And God shows up in our lives and opens up for us a whole new possibility of living. And so this guy has a choice then, after Jesus has put this mud on his eyes and directed him down to the pool. He can either go and wash or not. What would that be like if he said, you know, I don't trust Jesus. I don't know him at all. Why should I do what he says? Why should I be responsive to his direction? Why should I say yes to his guidance? I just want to get this mud out of my eyes. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. But instead, he obeys. And that unlocks in his life, that facilitates in his life, this miraculous healing from Jesus. And so what I want to say to you this morning is that there are times in your life that the thing that keeps God from working in your life and through your life is that you're not being obedient. It's not a question of not knowing what to do. It's not an issue of wondering what God's guidance or God's direction for you is. That's pretty clear. God has shown you what to do. But the place where you are stuck is your reluctance just to obey God. Just to say, okay, Jesus, this doesn't completely make sense to me. This doesn't, I don't understand everything that's going on, but you're telling me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey. And because this man was willing to obey, God was able to work through his life. God was able to work in his life. And it's the same way in your life. If you will say yes to Jesus, if you will do what he tells you to do, then he will faithfully work in your life. Jesus makes an incredible declaration of himself to this man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? Just tell me so that I can believe in him. And Jesus says, now you have seen him. You haven't just heard his voice, you've seen him. In fact, he is the one who's speaking to you. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You need to obey God. You need to trust God. You need to let God deliver you from fear so that you can follow Jesus. Don't waste any time asking that question, why me? Instead, just ask that question, okay, Lord, now what? Amen.